Church? Hell no. Are you no longer feeling comfortable in church? This podcast is for individuals who are desperately missing God, but don't know how to find Him. Substance abuse, domestic violence, sex offenses, acrimonious divorce can contribute to discomfort in the church. For these individuals, church is just not an option anymore. Ordained minister Dennis Hall and his guests invite you to listen to this podcast for topics that are inspiring, uplifting, and will bring hope to those who just feel church is not relevant in their lives today.
I'm Dr. Dennis Hall, and I am delighted that you're listening to our podcast today. This is an exciting time of the year. I go into all the stores, and they're selling Easter candy, Easter bunnies, stuffed bunnies, all kinds of things that are symbols of the Easter season. So I see a lot of excitement at this time of year, and goodness gracious, Easter Sunday is upon us. It's a week from this Sunday, and next Sunday is referred to as Palm Sunday. You know, it's often referred to as Passion Sunday, marking the beginning of Holy Week that concludes on Easter Sunday. You know, in my neighborhood, even adults sometimes exchange Easter baskets. And my wife decorates our house with symbols of Easter. I think it's her favorite time of the year, Easter. You know, Christians are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the time when Christians reflect on the Jesus's triumphal return to Jerusalem. You know, the Bible account of Palm Sunday can be found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John 12, you know, we're told that the crowds heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and they took palm branches, and they went out to meet him. And Luke 19 tells us, as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Now, this is an interesting passage to me for a lot of reasons. In my younger life, I spent some time breaking horses. Horses that had never been ridden. And so Jesus has specifically asked for them to bring him a colt or a donkey that had never been ridden. And it's amazing, you see, that the Lord was able to sit on that donkey and proceed into Jerusalem. You know, the scripture tells us that they brought this colt or donkey to him. And as he went along, people threw their cloaks or coats and palm branches in front of Jesus as Jesus sat on this young donkey and made his way slowly and humbly into Jerusalem. The people greeted him enthusiastically, waving these palm branches and covering his path with palm branches. In Matthew 21:9, we read, "The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" The shouts of Hosanna meant save now, save now. And the palm branches symbolize goodness and victory. Now, I asked a friend of mine just the other day, who is a fine Christian woman, I said to her, "Why the palm? Why the palm branches? Isn't the palm just another tree?" And she looked at me and said, "What's the answer?" And I said, "The answer is no. No, not really. You know, palms are not actually true trees. Their trunk functions are quite different from the trees in the forest, like the oaks and birches and spruce trees. Those trees have inner workings to get their nutrients sort of like blood vessels in a human being. And palms don't have these pathways. A palm trunk is actually just an elongated stem. And in the trees of the forest, the nutrient systems exist, and they must be continually replaced when their cells die. However, the palm in the palm cells remain alive as long as the palm is still living. Did you know palm trees can only be grown from a seed? The seeds send out a sprout, forming the start of a root. And then the palm tree begins to form in a way that reminds me of humans growing from a seed inside their mother. You know, palm trees begin to send out roots widely. And it's interesting that the initial girth of these roots are as wide as they'll ever get. The root design is also kind of different for palms to get their nourishment compared to these woody trees in our forest. You know, palms primarily feed from the ground's upper soil. That's why we all know that palms need watering regularly. We humans share that trait, and that we have to have access to water on a regular basis to survive. You know, palm trees' roots are numerous. They have these huge root balls under them, and they can extend out as far as 50 feet from the trunk of the tree. And just like palm trees, humans will travel great distances they gain access to water. You know, another thing we notice about palm trees is they do not have bark on the side of their trunks. And the inside of a palm trunk structure is very different than woody trees. You know, palm trees, they don't increase their trunk width by growing wide, as we see in the trees in the woods. They don't get thicker by yearly growing these growth rings we see in woody trees, getting larger and larger. You know, as they age, palm trees basically stay the same size, the same width that they grew to when they were a young tree. I thought, wouldn't that be nice if we humans had that trait? You know, if you looked at the cross section of a palm tree, it's filled with what is called scattered palm bundles that provide the nutrients. If you look at it, it almost looks like poured concrete. You know, the palm leaves or fronds, which were used by the crowds on Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, not only capture the sun's energy for photosynthesis, which creates the carbohydrates to nurture continued growth in the palm, but also help to wither windstorms without damage. Now, you may say, well, how is that? How is that? Well, rather than being flat, the blade areas of fronds, the leaves of palms, are pleated to various degrees in a V shape or a tent shape. And this makes them remarkably stiffer for wind resistance. And throughout the structure of the palm leaves or fronds are ribs braced with strong fibers. Now, we've all seen photos of palms bending in massive, strong storms. Yes, but we've also seen that a Category 4 or 5 hurricane can take a palm tree down. But overall, palm trees have the ability to stand up to very strong winds. This is because the inside of the palm tree's trunk is a matrix of fibrous material. And as I said earlier, you can almost compare this to poured concrete. And within that, there are these scattered nutritional bundles that are very strong. Some have compared these bundles almost to the steel rebar you see them place in poured concrete. You know, the outer edges are stronger and denser than the inner areas. And that's why palm trees usually sway and bend in strong winds, but rarely ever break. You know, in the creation story in Genesis, on the third day, God said, let the land produce vegetation on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to the various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. Now, palm trees bear fruit with seeds in it. Some varieties are edible and some are not. But I'm convinced that on that third day, when God was creating the vegetation, that he created the durable palm tree that can survive high winds and live in arid and tropical environments. You know, our omniscient, all-knowing God must have known that one day the leaves of the palm would be used to greet his son on his arrival in Jerusalem. The durability of palm trees is remarkable. In 1963, excavations were well underway in the Judean wilderness at the site of Herod the Great's palace. And an exciting discovery unfolded when they found that an ancient clay jar filled with date palm seeds. You know, the dry environment inside the jar and the mounds of rubble surrounding it had managed to perfectly preserve these date seeds. And later, carbon testing confirmed that the seeds were well over 2,000 years old. Date palm seeds. These seeds were kept in storage for over 40 years, and then two researchers in Israel initiated a project to germinate these ancient seeds from this archaeological site. They put the ancient palm seeds in a combination of enzymatic water and fertilizer. And then in January 2005, they planted the seeds. They even held a ceremony when they planted the seeds. And guess what? Later, the impossible happened. One of the seeds sprouted, becoming the oldest seed in the world to successfully germinate. The researchers affectionately named the seed Methuselah, after the oldest person mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 5:27. And the tree, Methuselah, grew. You know, he attracted world attention, this tree. And in 2008, this botanical miracle was officially added to the Guinness Book of World Records. Now, when Methuselah was transplanted to his permanent home on the grounds of the Areva Institute, it was confirmed that he was a male palm tree, meaning that a female would have to be pollinated to bear his fruit. Now, I bet you didn't even know that palm trees had genders, male and female. So the researchers went about germinating other ancient palm date trees. And when the seeds sprouted, genetic testing revealed that one of the seeds was a female. And they named her Hannah and patiently waited for her to grow. Well, guess what? 6 years later, when Hannah produced fruit and flowered, pollen from the Methuselah was brushed onto Hannah's flowers. This would be the true test of ancient seeds. Could they really produce after lying dormant for 2,000 years? Well, guess what? The answer was yes. And when Hannah began to bear fruit, this was in the year 2020, in the midst of the global pandemic and economic collapse, we had this agricultural miracle taking place in Israel. And that year, 111 dates were harvested from the oldest palm date trees in the world. It's an amazing story about the durability of the palm tree created by God. You know, the first mention of date palms in the Bible is when the children of Israel left Egypt and entered the Elon Desert and pitched their tent, according to the scripture in Exodus 15:27, and pitched their tent next to 70 palm trees. You know, date palms are most commonly found in climates such as Israel's because they're extremely tolerant to drought. You know, one of Israel's judges, Deborah, the scripture tells us, conducted court meetings under the shade of palm trees. Judges 4:5 tells us that. And Psalms 92 promises that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree and still bear fruit in old age. And then we have Leviticus 24 that tells us the branches of the palm tree were used for decoration and waved in celebration during the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, as Israel got out of Egypt, the Lord commanded that they celebrate a feast in honor of their freedom that they had gotten from the hands of their captors who had enslaved them for hundreds of years. You know, from that time on, the people of Israel have celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, which includes the waving of palm leaves, which takes place for 7 days. Furthermore, the Lord God commanded that this practice be passed on to future generations. In this way, the people of Israel will know the victories that God has given to them. The Jewish tradition commanded by God was carried out each year until the day of Jesus' crucifixion, a custom that is still honored today. King Solomon carved the walls of the temple, both the inner and outer sanctuaries, with figures of palm trees. Palm trees are the symbol of joy and victory, going back to the days that the people of Israel was celebrating their freedom from their Egyptian enslavement. Now you know the answer to why the palms, why the palm leaves. That's the answer. God commanded them to celebrate their freedom, and it's carried out today. Now, interestingly, at the end of the Bible, we're told that the people will wave palm branches once again to praise and honor Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7:9, we read, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude, and that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." So the palm branch will be important all the way to the end of time. You know, this Sunday in many Christian churches, Palm Sunday will be celebrated to commemorate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You know, many churches will distribute palm branches or small crosses made from palm fronds or branches. Palm Sunday is a solemn beginning to Passion Week, which ends with the celebration of Easter. This is a special time of year for the Christian church. I read a wonderful devotional by Elizabeth Sherrill on the internet. It caused me to think about what an unbelievable scandal it was for Jesus to be riding into Jerusalem. The entire area had to be in a patriotic uproar after he threw the money changers out of the temple. And now he has the audacity to ride into Jerusalem, creating even more chaos. Now, I have to say that all of this was prophesied. Now, stirring up trouble is what happens when Jesus enters the scene. You know, Palm Sunday and Easter is a parallel to our individual journey of faith. When Jesus comes into our lives, our priorities change over time. Assumptions we have are set aside. You know, the first thing he did on entering Jerusalem is the first thing he does on entering a life. He goes straight to the temple, to the place where we worship, and cleans out what is not a part of God's design. Now, we call this the sanctification process. It's a recognition that when Jesus is in charge, many things that we used to do are no longer okay. You know, we think we know the things that Jesus would want to get rid of, but we're always surprised that he finds things deep inside of us that must go. God's house cleaning is normally not what we envision when it gets underway. Attitudes, old hurts, a sense of inferiority, all of these things that block our relationship, out it must go. I want to end this podcast by asking you a question. Are you ready to throw down your coat and wave palm leaves and welcome Jesus into your life? It's something to think about. Thank you for listening, and happy Easter to you.